This thing on. Oh, there we go.
How's everybody doing tonight?
All right. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to finish up what the Lord wanted to say last week, and I ran out of time. So, Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 10. I'm back up a little bit. As you guys are turning, I'll just recap a little bit so that we're not lost. Last week we spoke about the law of sin and death that we're all born under, the idea that we are born into a world without being able to attain holiness on our own, that we cannot attain to righteousness even though we can understand what it is in observing God's law. And then the dispensation of the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit of God to mankind through Jesus Christ, that we might actually touch righteousness. That we might actually choose to walk in the Spirit, that we might actually choose to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we might actually be able to accomplish something that is truly perfect, that is truly holy, as God's Spirit lives in us and works through us as we choose for that. And today we're going to move on to the next section of that, because in making that decision to live in the Spirit and in making that choice to mortify the flesh, to die to the carnality that we are born in, to deny the natural man, there is suffering. Like the song we sang, there is pain in the offering. That there is some cost to our flesh, and in fact, it's death to our flesh. It's painful to it that we give up ourselves and say, "Yes, Lord, have Your way with me." You know, that there is a price associated with that. It is not simply easy. It's not always thoughtless. It's not always a piece of cake. However, walking in the Spirit is all that Jesus said that it was, that His yoke is easy and that His burden is light. And when we choose to be in the Spirit, though our flesh is mortified, everything that we do in the Spirit is effortless, without striving, without difficulty, with all resource and ability and strength. Okay. So let's start. Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you." And here in verse 11 we see this promise that we finished on last week, the power of God to give us life, to revive us, to breathe back into dry bones. Water, life, vibrance, strength. You know, as we go through our days, as we go through our weeks, as we go through our months, and life drags by and draws by and flashes by, or whatever it is for you, we become weary, we become tired. We need to be constantly refilled. We need to be constantly in the presence of the Lord, constantly making habit of returning to the Lord, to returning to the fountain where the glory comes out, the spout where the glory comes out. Right? We need to be going back to Christ, because He is the life giver. It is His word. It is His presence. It is His very Spirit that revives us. And I see so often in the church, I see a struggle to choose against the flesh, trying to use the power of the flesh, trying to use the strength of what's in a man to say, "Lord, I will that I will not sin." And the Lord's saying here in verse 11, He's promising us that He is the life giver. He's the one who quickens. We cannot overcome and make that decision and make that choice to choose the Spirit based upon our own the power of our own flesh, our own determination. But it is the Spirit of God which gives us the grace to do so. And in His presence, we have the power to choose. You know, the application being in that moment of trial, in that moment of temptation where you know you are presented with the opportunity either to concede and wave the white flag and give in to the flesh and do that thing which you know the Lord would not have you do, or to choose the life of the Spirit and to choose God and have that temptation flee from you. Do you do it with a willful determination, or do you do it by humbling yourself before God? And I would challenge each of us that we will not succeed with our own willful determination. "Lord, I won't do that thing. I won't say that to my spouse. I won't say that to my child. I'm not going to say that to my parent. I'm not going to do that thing. I'm not going to be pressed to lie. I'm not going to go to that website. But the only way that we're going to have victory in those things and choosing the life of the Spirit is by knowing that God is our sustenance, is that God is our life, and that His presence and that His Spirit is that which gives us the strength to do it. And by humbling ourselves, by kneeling and praying and fleeing that temptation, by running to our God, we find the victory. Isaiah, don't turn, just listen. Isaiah 26, starting in verse 18. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, they shall arise, awake, and sing, you that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. These two verses, the first verse stating the very fact that we are unable within ourselves to accomplish deliverance, that no man can save another man's soul, that no man can save his own soul, that no man has hope to flee temptation. And then the next verse, in verse 19, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. That's the Lord speaking of Christ, a prophecy given. We'll live through the death of our Savior and His resurrection, the promise of our life. My dead body, they shall arise, awake, and sing, you that dwell in dust. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That we would be alive, that we would be alive to praise our God. You know, given that gift of quickening, given that gift of life. And that's where we're going to start tonight, because tonight we're going to talk about that pain in the offering. We're going to talk about that pinch, that mortifying of the flesh, and the consequences that come along with it. As we make the decision to either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh, and those long-term choices and the consequences that will find us, the things that confront us as we do that, right? We need to know that Christ is our life, and that He is the source of the strength, and that He is the source of the power. And as we become weary in the choosing and weary in the suffering, it's back to verse 11 that we'll return, that God is the one who quickens us, that God is the one who brings life as we're dragged through the mud, as we're worn out. All right, so with that said, let's go on to verse 12. Therefore then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And this is, as we become saved, as we become Christians, as we become regenerate, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, embracing His Word, embracing His Spirit, choosing to walk after Him, we are now no more debtors to the flesh. We owe the flesh nothing. We are no longer under its bond or its control. And I believe, as I look at the church today, that we've totally missed this. I look at the church today and I see a body of believers, both in the evangelical Christian church and the denominational Christian church, who fall to be debtors to the flesh, giving themselves over to what the flesh would say to us to do. Go for the bigger house. It's all right. It's only twice the mortgage you're paying now. Go for the third new car. Go for that extra. You can afford that extra car payment. They'll finance you. Just a little bit more money a month. You know, we indebt ourselves that way. We indebt ourselves with our time. Oh, well, I'm involved in this, you know, practice of amusement or entertainment. I have to go do this. I have to go do that. I'm committed to this thing or that thing. You know, I have to make sure I catch all the newest movies and all the latest. For my generation now, it's the video game. My generation is a slave to the video game. Hours and hours of time wasted, thrown away on a video game, right? Christians today, we're debtors to the flesh, and we don't have to be. And that's the hope. That's what Paul's saying, is that, you know, we're not required to be. We don't have to stand in a state of guilt all the time. Oh, Lord, you know, I know I'm supposed to read the Word and follow You, but really I'm stuck doing all these fleshly things, and I'm bound to these things, and I have to make these payments, and I have to, you know, take this time for amusement, and I have to take this time for myself, for what it is. You know, I've got five children, and so my newest was just born, and when he was born, I have to go through the same thing that I have to go through with that each time one of my kids is born. I have to go back to the Lord and go, all right, Lord, so how much more time do I have to give to You now? How much more is this going to cost that I have more ministry to do for You? No. I think the Lord gave me five children because without them, He never would have got even a quarter of my heart or my time. You know? And, you know, I go to the Lord and I say, all right, Lord, well, there's a new child. There's a new ministry. There's something new that has to be done. So what's it going to be? How much? No, don't let me be a debtor of the flesh here, Lord. Don't let me hold on to those things that suck up my time when there is children, there's a wife, there's a job, there is ministry here in the body that requires attention, that requires our time and our energy. No, there's so much that the kingdom of God wants to accomplish. There's so much that we can be a part of as the Christian church, yet I think so often we've chosen to be debtors to the flesh, and we just don't have to be. We're freed from that. The Word of God is more powerful sustenance to us than even physical food. The Word of God alone sustains us. The Lord says in a place, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is God's very presence and His very Spirit and His very gift of His character to us, His relationship with us that keeps us alive. And I think so often we've reversed that concept. Well, when I get home after a long day of being a contractor, I'm certainly hungry. I better go right for the dinner table. I got to eat, because if I don't eat, I'm cranky. My wife will tell you, I'm really cranky if I don't eat. I got to have blood sugar. I got to get it up. Really, but the Bible would say that before I eat physical food, I should sit in my truck for 20 minutes and worship Him and hear His word, that I'm really prepared to go into my house. Prepared and armed with the Word of God, filled up with His presence and His Spirit, rather than just trying to make the flesh eke by, squeak by for a moment. And that application follows us everywhere.